Menopause can be scary. Hot flashes, sleepless nights, emotional ups and downs, weight gain, and fatigue. Menopause, it seems, is the beginning of old age and the last chapter of life. Most women go through menopause without ever consulting a medical professional. They don't treat their menopausal symptoms. They have negative impacts on their home life. They don't receive information about how to continue to have an excellent sex life, how to prevent breast cancer. Many women during menopause develop anxiety and depression. And to make it worse, workplaces offer no help for women who suffer from menopause. It's time for us to rewrite the story. Every menopausal woman can reclaim their health and their body. Menopause can be magical, a time of true freedom and transformation. And my guest today has made it her life's purpose to show women that menopause can truly be a second spring and can truly be magical. This is the Lindsay Elmore Show. Welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Dr. Anna Kabeka is a triple board certified and fellow of gynecology and obstetrics, integrative medicine, and anti-aging and regenerative medicine. She has special certifications in functional medicine, sexual health, and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. For the past 20 years, she served 10,000 women in her private practice and millions through her books, online videos, and articles. When her own health took a troubling turn during menopause, she sought out the wisdom of healers all around the world. She learned that modern medicine and time-tested natural remedies are not at odds. Working together, they create indisputable results and true well-being. Using delicious, healing foods and simple lifestyle changes, Dr. Anna was able to reclaim her health. Fueled by her belief that every woman deserves to be empowered and in control of their health and life, she developed the Keto Green Lifestyle, which has helped thousands of women opt out of menopause misery and experience a joyful transition into the next stages of their lives. With her methods, you too can breeze through menopause into your second spring feeling better than you ever have. Dr. Anna Kabeka, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
It is great to be here with you, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Menopause, I think a lot of women get freaked out about it. They think that it's going to be all hot flashes, all sleepless nights. They're going to be moody, weight gain, fatigue. And a lot of people, I think that menopause is like the beginning of old age. But you're here today to teach us that it doesn't have to be that way, that menopausal women can truly reclaim their health and their body, and that it can be a magical transformation that leads to true freedom. One of my friends told me the other day, she was like, I cannot believe what a blessing menopause has been. I can have sex without worrying about getting pregnant. Like, it's a thing. And she was so excited about it. And so I'm so grateful to get to talk to you today about how menopause can be magical. So let's just start about how menopause is interpreted around the world in different cultures.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, it's really a different approach to menopause around the world in the countries that I have visited, and I've traveled around the world and traveled extensively, but also researched menopause around the world. And I think the mindset of freedom is a really big one. Mindset of matriarchy or leadership or a new role in the household or in their life stage is another piece of empowerment too, as well as you know, the letting go of the definition of too old, like that feeling too old, or you know, I'm too old for this. You know, that's it. That was, you know, a thing of the past. And those types of expressions that we can hear pretty commonly in America, we don't hear that in other places as much. And as I traveled too, there were certain like habits and lifestyles that really stood out among people from, you know, I would just say, you know, women, especially living over 80, 90, 100 years old. And a common thread is that sense of community, that sense of responsibility, that sense of pouring in to the people around you and the next generation. And even more importantly, doing things that bring you joy, doing things that make you happy. It can be spiritual practice. It can be arts and, you know, certain lifestyle practices. It can be, you know, other things that really are they're focusing on bringing joy into their lives. And joy brings in oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone of love and connection, but it's also the hormone of longevity. It's the hormone of longevity. And so we definitely want to increase oxytocin on a daily basis as one of the lifestyle hacks that we can do to improve the not just the quantity of our life, the number of years, but the quality of those years as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about on the show with Dr. Kieran Dunstan how some cultures don't even have a word for menopause. Like it's like not considered a thing, whereas American women have a really challenging time with it. And so you wrote a book called Menopause, which I think is such an extraordinary name for a book. I love it so much. And you talk about the 6-day menopause plan. And so how do you approach feeling better during menopause by adapting the way that you eat?
Ah, it's lovely, isn't it? I love menopause. It definitely makes you smile. And a couple things. One, going back to menopause around the world, is the Japanese use the word konenki for menopause, which means second spring. So I always like to say we can, you know, hack our way to breeze through menopause into the second spring of our life. And that's really key. Now, my key approach to menopause is what I've coined the keto green way, And that is incorporating healthy ketogenic foods and lifestyle habits with alkalinizing vegetables and plant-based foods, the combination of which with intermittent fasting and no more snacking. And, you know, there are other key factors there, but that way we're nourishing our body is key, because we in menopause, in this time, perimenopause, starting in our mid-30s, our brain's ability to shift to use fuel starts to shift. And we see our bodies experiencing these neuroendocrine symptoms, the anxiety, mood swings, brain fog, sleeplessness, lack of drive and desire. All of those things are neuroendocrine symptoms. Well, if we look at what's happening during that time, our progesterone levels are plummeting, and progesterone is a neuroprotective hormone. It protects our brain, and it is the precursor to our other hormones. But also during this time, we know that glucose metabolism in the brain is significantly less. So our brain starts starving for fuel. Why? Because glucose metabolism is estrogen dependent, hormone dependent. I think more likely progesterone than estrogen, but we've studied estrogen and certainly it's estrogen dependent. But the use of ketones for fuel is not hormone dependent. So we want to light up our brains, have good memory, have happy mood, have more energy, have better night's sleep. We need to get into ketosis in a healthy way so that we're using ketones for fuel, at least on a regular basis, not 100% of the time, but on a regular enough basis. And then, and that's the shift. That's the shift that makes a huge physiologic difference. And that's the basis of my number one keto green plan. Now, as I've worked with, you know, in my community, over 100,000 women, over 150,000 women. And so sometimes clients would come and say, you know, Dr. Anna, I'm stuck. I'm this, that. And I would review what's making them stuck. What have they been doing? Right. Say, well, let's pause. And it's typically some of your favorite foods. So this is where the five plans came from, is the things that I would most commonly have to pause and change up to change up to their typical routine. And that's where, again, these five plans came from. So the first plan, and I can go through them, Lindsay, if you want me to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was reading your book, getting prepped for this, and there are many different 6-day plans, and some of them are extreme, some of them are plant-based, some of them are carbohydrate, meant to help reduce carbohydrates, all the things. So how do you decide which is right for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think in general, try all the plans, right? They're designed to try them all. So I'll go through each one and tell you kind of this one's right for you if. But you can also do, there's a link I have, it's dranna.com, so dranna.com/MP quiz for menopause quiz, MP quiz. And so there's a little digital quiz you can take, but let me tell you the quick way to figure it out. So first of all, the first plan is Keto Green Extreme. It's really if we pause all nightshades and peppers, and this Keto Green Extreme plan is ideal for someone who has autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's and or MS and or rosacea and has skin issues, because nightshades can really aggravate rosacea, as being a rosacea, someone who had a diagnosis of rosacea in the past. That is something I pay attention to. I love my nightshades. So they only get paused every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one, Keto Green Extreme. And then the second plan is, because many people, especially trying to get keto green and have such a disrupted gut, have struggle with constipation and or hormonal acne and things like that. And that's when we want to pause all meats. So it's a keto green plant-based detox. It's keto green because also many of my vegan and vegetarian eaters that won't diverge their menu plan so much or their choices, they often have too many carbs. So this is great if you're vegan and vegetarian and do the plant-based plan, but also just to establish, to improve constipation and to stimulate healthy gut motility, give your body good, healthy fiber, and also to support gut microbial diversity. We know that the more plant-based plans can improve gut microbial diversity. So we want that. And then the third plan is sometimes people, if they eat a vegetable, they get bloated and have SIBO issues, so small intestinal bowel overgrowth issues, or have terrible eczema and or psoriasis. The external environment is a reflection of the internal environment. So if your skin is having issues, we've got to heal the gut and we got to do it quickly. The carnivore plan, it's my carbohydrate pause. We pause all carbs. Also for those that are really metabolically damaged, we can do this pause as a really quick jump start. And it pauses, you know, it pretty much pauses all the vegetables. We use some herbs and spices and seasonings and flavors for alkalinization as well as minerals. And that's the carbohydrate pause. And we see amazing results with that. It's very tolerable. It's also nose to tail. I balanced out the 6-day plan so that we're hitting all the ways the body detoxes, supporting liver detox, supporting gut, and definitely supporting hormones. And then the fourth plan is a cleanse. So that is a great 6-day cleanse. And definitely if there are, you know, GI issues and skin issues, it's, you know, in general, I think we should do this plan at least once every season. So to give your gut a good chance to repair, rest, and heal. And so that's the concept of the cleanse. And then the fifth plan is, especially for my clients that have been doing keto for a long time or keto green for a long time, and especially my elite athletes, that I will have them carb up, so in a healthy way. And so the fifth plan is a higher carb plan. And each plan is only 6 days because the gut intestinal mucosa re-epithelializes every 3 days. So we have 2 3-day cycles here to really work on that hint, that, you know, that that healing. And it really gives you a good wink, essentially, of what you need right now. So in 6 days, we can do anything.
That's amazing. 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 I love that. I have learned a lot about the gut, and I did not know that the gut epithelia and mucus overturn each every 6 days, but
every 3 days.
Oh, okay. So we're getting, that's what you were saying. We're getting 2 3-day cycles to really help to heal. And so teach us a little bit about the science behind how eating according to these different menopause plans is going to heal the body.
Yeah. Well, number one is we really recognize that gluten's, grains, and dairy and sugar are destructive to our hormones and our metabolism. As we get older, like menopause is a risk factor for diabetes. Menopause, a risk factor for diabetes. Why? Because we're becoming more insulin resistant. As I've learned through my work and my own life journey, like, you know, like to say your mess becomes your message. Well, that was true in my case. So as I've learned, because I didn't learn this in med school, I've learned it, like, this is street smarts, y'all, street smarts. So what I learned is that as much as I studied all the reproductive hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and even DHEA, the 3 major hormones that we have to modify and affect to improve the quality of our life are different. They're insulin, cortisol, and the most powerful hormone of our body, oxytocin. So in the keto green way, we get into ketosis, and that creates insulin sensitivity. Cortisol is acidifying. So checking your pH and alkalinity decreases cortisol. Oxytocin is the most alkalinizing hormone in our body. Anything we do to decrease cortisol and increase oxytocin empowers your physiology. So in this way, and this is, we see these amazing results, and not just like numbers, your biomarkers, that's all good. The number on the scale, that's all good, but it's how you feel that makes the difference.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So before we get to the rest of my interview, let's take a break for a word from our sponsors. This episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show is sponsored by Sambucol. Fall will soon be here, and fall is a time when we get the chance to harvest all that we have sown all summer long. Mother Nature is shedding her layers as we layer up for cooler weather. Kids are heading back to school, and this is a time of transition. That means that it is the perfect time of year to assess your current routines. What is serving you? What isn't? And is there anything that can help to aid your health and wellness journey? This is where Sambucol comes in. I recently started taking Sambucol Black Elderberry every single morning to help support my immune system so that I can keep doing all of the things that I need to do every single day. It's a simple act of self-care that doesn't really take much effort. Sambucol is made from premium European black elderberries, which are a natural source of powerful antioxidants and key vitamins like A, C, and E. They help support a healthy immune system so that you can keep moving. Best of all, Sambucol has many different ways of helping your daily dose of black elderberry to happen with ease. There are syrups, gummies, chewable tablets, drink powders, capsules, and more. They have products just for kids, too. So whether you are drizzling a little bit of syrup over your yogurt or overnight oats, or if you're reminded every time you exercise, today is my time to take my Sambucol, go ahead and bump up that immunity so that you can keep moving. Listeners of the Lindsay Elmore Show can get 15% off of their next order of $9.99 or more at sambucolusa.com by using my promo code Lindsay15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order of $9.99 or more at sambucolusa.com when you shop the code LINDSEY and the number 15 at checkout. Here's a pro tip. Save this information in your notes app. Life gets busy and you are not going to want to scroll back through episodes and find me saying this again. The code is Lindsay15 at sambucolusa.com. And now, let's get back to the show. You just said something that nobody has ever said to me, which is that oxytocin is the most important and powerful hormone in the body. What led you to that conclusion?
Well, definitely I had my own episode of oxytocin deficiency. Mm-hmm. So I had post-traumatic stress disorder. And I like to talk about how we can go from PTSD to post-traumatic growth. And that's part of my journey and part of my story. So when we're chronically stressed, whether it's everyday stress, we're producing cortisol, mm-hmm. and or post-traumatic stress, even under the surface, it's producing cortisol. And cortisol, I would say, you know, it's the robber that comes to steal and hurt. And so cortisol over time affects our physiology in so many ways. Certainly on the physical level, we know that cortisol is the key to unlock the door between our healthy intestinal membrane. So it increases your zonulin, increases your gluten sensitivity, and all of those increases irritable bowel syndrome, all of those things. So, but cortisol, so I understood that part. But when cortisol is up, oxytocin goes down. And when cortisol is up and for chronic long-term, like with everyday stress, pandemic stress, your brain, let's say, like your HPA axis is like, okay, oh my gosh, you know, cortisol, you're frying me out. I've got to put the brakes on you. Actually, the paraventricular nucleus of the brain speaks to your adrenals and it's like, okay, stop mm-hmm. putting out all this cortisol. So you become, it's not that your adrenals fatigue, that's incorrect terminology. It's that your PBN is saying, cortisol, you're frying me out. It's time to put a stop to you. And so you now have the brakes on cortisol. And so you're in a very dangerous emotional state where cortisol is low and oxytocin is low at the same time. And that feels like burnout. I love my work, but I don't even want to go in there anymore. I used to love it. I think I'm going to quit, change jobs. I love my husband. I just don't feel love for him. I think I'm going to get a divorce. Okay. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
You start not doing things that you would normally do. You see friends out in the grocery store and you're like, oh my God, I don't see them. I hope they don't see me. You don't feel connected. It's disconnect. That's the physiology of disconnection. The anecdote to that is building cortisol. Now, when I was in that PTSD state, I did all those things. I burned out. I divorced. I went broke. All of those things. May have chosen some unhealthy oxytocin seeking behaviors. And it's really important to realize that sometimes the way we self-medicate, our, you know, famous comedian, Robin Williams.
The brilliant Robin Williams.
Brilliant. Oxytocin, right? Laughter. And that self-medication, he was really, really depressed. Mm-hmm. There's self-medication that's important for that. So how do we improve oxytocin and decrease cortisol? Meditation, prayer, laughter, good sex, you know, connection, community. So doing those things like church community, friend groups, all of these things improve oxytocin when you feel connected. And that's one of the markers of the Blue Zone, healthy community. And those are things that can really help. So, and oxytocin, in studying that, again, the eyes don't see what the mind don't know. We had that saying in Emory University and in our OBGYN gynecology surgery department, Let's say your eyes don't see what your mind don't know. So if you couldn't see a fascial, if you didn't know there was a fascial defect, you wouldn't see it. But once your mind knows it, you're going to find it. You're going to look for it.
That's the reticular activating system. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That is right. That is right. When you have that awareness. And so that was what, you know, for me, and I started reckoning, like, why do I feel? What is all this that's going on to me? I don't enjoy these things anymore. What's going on? And I shift my physiology in the keto green way, started managing cortisol, increasing oxytocin, because I recognized those mornings on the beach or the mornings I did gratitude journaling, I was more alkaline each day. I was like, what's going on here? And I was like, oxytocin must be doing something. And or cortisol. Cortisol is the most acidifying. Cortisol increases hydrogen ion secretion across the renal tubules. Our thoughts create our physiology, right? Our thoughts create our physiology. So this was mind-blowing to me. And so I started like, okay, then I'm going to use my thoughts to improve my physiology. I'm going to use my lifestyle to improve my physiology beyond what I'm eating. And that's where the oxytocin increasing, healthy oxytocin increasing behaviors and practices come in. Lowering cortisol practices, deep breathing, meditation, gratitude journaling, powerful medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. It is such powerful medicine. Talk to us a little bit more about how our thoughts create our physiology.
So I'll give you a physiologic example. So one of the things I wore in writing my books and creating my menu plans is a continuous glucose monitor, right? I love that. I think everyone should do it. Oh my gosh, I don't have one in now. I need to put one on. But you know, our continuous glucose monitoring can tell you a few things. And it was very interesting to see that I was fasting and giving electro. I'm actually going to probably at the time this is released, I'd have already spoken on stage at KetoCon. Well, a few years, 3 years back, I was wearing my CGM on stage and I was fasting when I gave my presentation. And I'm terrified public speaker. You know, I love it and I hate it. And so after I was done, I checked my blood sugar and it had been sky high. It was like, oh my gosh, it went up 60 points. So it went from fasting at, you know, 80, 90, you know, getting up and around to over 150. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's cortisol. Cortisol is increasing my blood glucose, increasing my physiology. That was fasted. Powerful.
Yeah, that is super powerful. And I love all the physiology that you just dropped on us about how when cortisol is up, oxytocin goes down, and then your brain says, adrenals, like you gotta stop. We can't do this anymore. And that's what is feeling like burnout is now you don't have that cortisol to get you going, 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 because your brain is saying we are going to die if you continue to run under this much stress. And so spirituality, community, meditation, are there other ways that we can improve our oxytocin? Because this is something, again, we've never talked about this on the podcast about how to raise oxytocin, even though, but we've talked extensively about how to lower insulin and lower cortisol.
Well, that's a key factor, lowering cortisol. That will help. But like, for example, things we know that improve longevity. So doing something that makes you laugh, right? That increases oxytocin. Watching a famous movie. I would write on a prescription pad for my client, like my big fat Greek wedding. Go watch the whole movie.
And we get a new one. We get a new one soon. I'm so excited.
Oh, Dewey. Oh my gosh. So, you know, it makes you laugh. And the second thing is having a pet increases longevity. We use pets for pet therapy in nursing homes, and we know that healthy marriages increase longevity. And so this is important. I mean, these are important things, healthy friendships, healthy community, but prayer, spiritual practices, meditation, doing things you love and enjoy all increase oxytocin. Like even things like a head rub, we know can increase oxytocin. Massage, facial can increase oxytocin. Things you, again, things you enjoy, especially hugging, kissing, touching, orgasm, those increase oxytocin space.
Oh, I love it so much. I mean, I can't think of a better list of things. We just need laughter, pets, friendship, prayer, gratitude, massage, and orgasms and hugs. Like, give me more of that all throughout life. Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about next why so many women struggle at menopause, because they hit this weight loss plateau and then they just can't get over the hump.
Yeah. Well, again, we become more insulin resistant as we age. And there are 13 weight control hormones that we have to deal with. So I think we're naturally becoming more estrogen dominant and progesterone deficient. So one of the things is, and of course, you know, again, supporting the adrenal glands, supporting healthy adrenal function, it's really part of the solution there, really is a key part of the solution. So we're getting older because we're becoming all the reproductive hormones are decreasing, and inflammatory hormones and hormones of aging, insulin and cortisol, are increasing. So that's the reason.
Okay. So weight loss plateaus, but then how do you push past it?
The keto green way. I mean, getting into ketosis, adding alkalinizers, intermittent fasting, no more snacking, little things like, you know, to improve your physiology. One of the biggest things, and it's so funny, I've had people in the health space, you know, here we're both drinking water in between our meal. Don't drink with your meals, drink in between your meals. And use, like, our physiology is chemistry. You think about how traditional societies have developed. Well, wine at the dinner table, wine is acidic. Well, wine at the dinner table is better than water. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can quote me, y'all. So, I mean, but it's true. And the same thing, coffee would be enjoyed at the end of a meal, not at the beginning, but at the end, not on an empty stomach. No, but at the end of a meal in traditional societies, and a small espresso, it's acidic. It can help support your digestion at that time. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, but if you dilute, if you drink, if you're eating your great steak and veggies, a beautiful keto green meal, and you're drinking all this water or, you know, beer or whatever, you're drinking a lot, you're diluting your digestive enzymes. Mm-hmm. And so that is and as we get older, our digestive enzymes naturally decrease. So you're, you know, really doing so much harm by drinking more than four or six ounces with your meal.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're throwing off the acid balance. And my goodness, do we have an epidemic of people on acid blocking medications, when it's like, no, you actually need the stomach acid. It's just you have too much acid at the wrong time, probably because you're eating a lot of inflammatory foods that are leading to disruptions in the microbiome that are causing just all of these gases to be produced. Now, your book has 125 different recipes, but it's really important to teach people principles of cooking so that they don't become dependent on other people saying, here's exactly how to cook. How do you teach people principles that allow them to build their own meals?
Yeah, so I think that's how we build it out. What does it look like? What does a keto green plate look like? So that you're not measuring food, you're not counting calories or macros, micros, really, at all. But you're looking to see, and also, you know, understanding what resonates with you. So I think the first thing is understanding what a keto green plate looks like, you know, how that looks. Like, for example, smoked salmon with capers and onions on a bed of arugula drizzled with olive oil or something like that. I love my eggs Benedict with poached eggs with hollandaise sauce on tomatoes and served with some vegetables, something that these are easy, right? I mean, let's see, you get a visual for what that looks like. And again, 125 recipes in my book and lots of colored photography. So you get that visual. And that's important to see and see what that looks like for you. Are you having those components, healthy fats, high quality protein, and fiber in your greens, fiber, minerals, herbs, right? Those are the medicinals. Those are the main medicinals. So we want to have that on your plate. So that's number one. And number two, recognizing the habits, the intermittent fasting, the no more snacking, just doing that increases your insulin sensitivity, increases your body. You're giving your body time to rest and digest, time to do what it needs to do so that it can be repairing and not digesting food all the time. Food, snacks, I mean, I'm telling you two things that are creating a pandemic of obesity in America. And that is, maybe three. Okay. So that is snacking, the thought about snacking, and then drinking with your meals.
Interesting. Okay. So what about supplements? Are there certain supplements that you recommend? Or I remember reading through your book and you've got a whole section on teas that you recommend, herbs that you recommend. And so, because I think when people go on cleanses where they're like, okay, so I can't eat bread, I can't eat, you know, there's all this list of what I can't do. And so they think that the food is going to be bland, but healthy food is delicious food if you know what to do with it. So what are your favorite ways to make food like palatable when our palates have been so hijacked by the engineered salt, sugar, and fat that we have in processed foods?
Yeah, so I think that's a really great question. The few things that I think really will make a difference in everyone is that if, you know, of course, understanding food is medicine. That's our thing. And then, but supplementing above that. And I created supplements where there were none that helped, you know, none available that helped me, that really did what I needed to do. So my Mighty Maca Plus 30 Superfood supplement is organic kosher maca with turmeric, resveratrol, quercetin, acerola, and mangosteen. From my healing journey around the world, combining these foods work better than anything by itself. And so that's why I formulated Mighty Maca Plus, and we've seen an improvement in as much as 70 to 200% in DHEAS level in serum testing, your adrenals, in 2 to 3 months at 2 to 3 scoops a day. Game changing, better than any adrenal protocol I've ever been on. And then the second thing is healthy fish oils, probiotics, and supplement. Like I usually start with progesterone and pregnenolone. My balance cream, I combine both progesterone and pregnenolone in it with some tripeptide, because we're going to put something on our skin. We may as well make it extra anti-aging. So, but the hormones for balancing, that's critical. And I find that those are ways that really help. And then of course, supplementing with DHEA, for me in my world, it's in my Jolva cream. So adding in a daily dose of DHEA on a regular basis is very beneficial for hormone balancing as well. So that's another way to help and support. And some other key supplements that I love are vitamin C and zinc. And of course, a multivitamin and mineral combination. So I do supplement, and CoQ10. CoQ10, I find, is pretty essential supplementation after age 50, you know, if not before, based on my genetics and functional tests, looking at markers for CoQ10 sufficiency. I'm insufficient in all markers. So supplementing with CoQ10, and again, family history of heart disease on both sides, and, you know, so adding CoQ10 is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love CoQ10. It's in a supplement that I take every day, first thing in the morning, and it's got CoQ10, it's got black seed oil in it. I mean, it's a really great supplement for the heart. And I mean, I think with so many millions of people being on statin medications and not being educated that the statin medication is going to completely abolish all of your CoQ10. To me, it's criminal that we don't have the same rules in the United States that we do in Japan. In Japan, it's required by law. The pharmacist can't let you leave the pharmacy with a statin medication without a CoQ10 supplement, because we're using the statin to try to prevent heart disease, and yet we're depleting one of the most critical nutrients that helps to prevent heart disease. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, just, I mean, understanding the mechanism of action of statin medications blocking your body's ability to make CoQ10 and how that affects myocardial function, muscle function, all throughout your body is crucial. That information has been known by the drug companies for a while, but you know, the drug companies did not want to compete with its number one best-selling drug on the market. The problem is with statin medications. I mean, in and of itself, it's never in a pill, a potion, a prescription, anything, right? The lifestyle matters, and taking medication that can further affect and inhibit your quality of life is problematic. And the fact that this information is known, it's been known. I mean, I looked at this data in early 2000s because I love the PDR, physician drug reference, and it will tell you, you know, the ins and outs, the mechanism of action. And I was a physiologist and a scientist before I went to med school. So, you know, that statins inhibit CoQ10 production. So that's why the congestive heart failure in those clients, the muscle aches, like, why would it cause that? What's the mechanism of action? You have to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. We also know that statin medications, along with thiazide diuretics, beta blockers, steroid medications, the list of meds that causes insulin resistance is a mile and a half long. Like, I could go through and just prattle off dozens and dozens and dozens of meds that raise blood sugar. I mean, I think steroids are the most classic example of meds that raise blood sugar. But then we also have all of the beta blockers, all of the statins, most antibiotics and antifungals. And that's not even getting me started on all the SSRI antidepressants are generally have weight gain. The atypical antipsychotics. I mean, like, the list goes on and on and on. And we're never taught that, hey, taking this antidepressant drug may make you put on 20 or 30 pounds and cause your blood sugar to go up. It's just, there's so much, but you are absolutely right. It's all about the lifestyle. You can out eat and under exercise and under sleep and under, you know, out stress any medication. So, Dr. Anna, where can our listeners go to find out more about your work?
Well, definitely come see me at dranna.com. So dranna.com. And I've got a bunch of extra resources for my book, Menopause. So I'd love for you to share Menopause with your friends and family and come back to my website to get the book bonuses that we've got, including batch cooking plans for any of you out there that love that. I love that.
Yes.
I created that bonus. And then, of course, on social media, I'm at The Girlfriend Doctor on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, and we have an amazing, thriving Keto Green community on Facebook that I invite you all to join as well.
Absolutely.
Lindsay,
you are so welcome. It has been a joy to talk to you. Everybody, go and pick up a copy of Menopause, 5 Unique Eating Plans to Break Through Your Weight Loss Plateau and Improve Mood, Sleep, and Hot Flashes. Dr. Anna Kubeka, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest today on The Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies, you do not have to accept occasional bladder leakage as just another side effect of menopause and aging. Urinary incontinence is also known as loss of bladder control or involuntary urinary leakage, and millions of women experience it every single day. The loss of control can be very minor. You might only have a few drops here and there when you laugh, exercise, cough, pick up a heavy object. You might also have that sudden urge to urinate and be unable to keep it before reaching the bathroom. There are 3 different kinds of urinary incontinence. Stress incontinence is the most common in older women. This is where weakened muscles in the pelvic floor can't hold back urine when you cough, exercise, sneeze, laugh, or lift something heavy. Urge incontinence is when the bladder muscles squeeze incorrectly and lose the ability to relax, and you may feel a constant urge to urinate even when your bladder is empty. There's also overflow incontinence when the bladder does not empty fully. This type of urinary incontinence can cause continuous urine dribbling out of your bladder. If you are at risk for urinary incontinence, you can be at ease in Speaks absorbent underwear for bladder leak protection. This is another brand offered by Thinks, my favorite period absorbing underwear. Speaks absorbs leaks and absorbs up to 8 teaspoons of liquid. It traps unwanted smells so that you feel fresh and worry-free. It has a breathable moisture barrier that helps to protect from wetness, and they're eco-friendly, allowing you to ditch panty liners for good and be kinder to yourself and to the planet. There are Speaks products that have different absorbencies. The regular has 8 teaspoons worth, but you can get up to 40 milliliters as well as 2 pads worth or 6 panty liners. And if you are deciding to go with the thong product instead of the hip huggers, the waist, the French cut, etc., you can absorb up to 3 teaspoons of liquid when you go and shop Speaks. Head to lindseyelmore.com/thinks and click on the Speaks tab to be at ease and not stress about having your urinary leakage change your life. Don't accept that postmenopause means that you must have urinary incontinence. Simply go to lindseyelmore.com/thinks to get absorbent underwear for bladder leak protection. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindseyelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag @LindsayElmoreShow and help us bring the pod to more people.